Okay. All right. Welcome to Greek Club here at Concordia Seminary, where we know it's still Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I was hanging out with some friends not too long ago, and many of whom are non-liturgical Christians, if I can say it that way, and they were lamenting the fact that Easter was already over. And I got to say, you know, for most of the church, it's a whole season. Oh, really? Yeah, it was great. They were really, it's like, cool, it's really, what a great idea, you know. So, yeah, the church year. So, okay, we are in Hebrews chapter 12, and we are at, I believe, verse 11. So the writer is talking about how it's precisely because God loves his children that he paideuos them, he trains them or disciplines them and so forth. Again, maybe just this comment theologically. I've heard this passage used to support the idea that when you do something bad, God will punish you, right? And clearly there's some room for that in our theology and in our God who is not a tame lion, if I could say it that way. So, and we see examples of this in the Bible from time to time and in various ways. But in this passage, there's no real, I mean, it's not like they're doing something wrong. They're under pressure. They're under some sort of difficulty. The danger, of course, is that they're drifting away from their confession, right? But in this context, I just find it hard to think that, you know, that sort of, in general, biblical concept applies. But rather, the writer is just trying to put a positive, fatherly spin, if I could say it that way, inspired spin, on the difficulty that they're going through. Look, God is training you, right? And he does this to all of his children, so don't lose heart. And he'll get to that in verse 12, but we have one more verse in that regard, is verse 11. So conceivably, it might sound like something like this in Greek, posa de paideia, pros men ta paran, ou doke karasenai, Allah lipes. Histeron de karpan e renekan, tois de autes ge gymnas menois, apadidosen dikaiosines. Once again, I'm thinking, how in the world could you hear this and put the pieces together? It just shows you the complexities of oral communication. Okay, subject at least is first. But every training, or all discipline, all training, on the one hand, prostaparan. Now, paran is just it's actually a participle. It's from pareme, the verb means to be present. And it's the present participle, active, neuter, singular, accusative. The being present thing would be a literal translation because it's got the article. And it just means the present or the present time. And can have a number of meanings, followed by the accusative, and here probably means something like at the present time, when it's happening, right? For all discipline, all training, on the one hand, when it's happening, now dokeo can mean to think, like I think something, or it can have kind of what's called an impersonal force, it seems to be something, and that's what we've got going on here. All training seems not to be, anai is the infinitive there of the linking verb. Now, you have to parse carefully here. It took me just a minute to figure this out. Seems not to be of joy. Karas is feminine singular genitive. And so is lipes, right? So a literal translation would be, seems not to be of joy, but of grief. And here we probably just render it joyful or grieving, right? Or grievous or something like that. So, you know, every son who's been disciplined by an earthly father, trained by an earthly father, you know, says amen to this. And, when God works all things together for good, but the things themselves are difficult or painful, then we all know that this is true. It doesn't seem to be of joy, but of grief. Histeronta, but later. Histeros is just an adjective. It means remaining, right? But this, again, is a neuter singular accusative, and so it's adverbial. We've seen this a bunch in Hebrews, and it's actually a good thing to keep in mind. because you see it fairly often in the New Testament. For instance, one example of this that pops to mind is when Jesus says in the upper room, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine with you until I drink it new, kainan, in a new way, or newly," or something like that. So again, the neuter singular accusative adjective especially can act like an adverb. But later or afterward, remainingly, literally, laterly. Now, karpan, you can see, is accusative, so we're going to take that as the direct object of some verb. And we get the verb second word from the last, apadidozin, to pay or to give. It's just a present indicative active third singular. The me verbs, you know, get rusty real quick, and you might think because of the z that it's third plural, but it's actually the third singular. It, and the it is the paideia earlier in the verse. It pays or gives karpan irenikon, peaceful fruit, peaceable fruit. Then, probably a dative of advantage, tois de autes gegymnas menois, for those like wills, for gym rats. Don't you think? Wouldn't that be a good translation, right? And Will is chuckling over here. Gymnazo means to train, and this is where we get our word gymnasium from, right? For those who, and this is a perfect participle passive, see the duplication on the front of the stem, ge, gymnas, no connecting vowel. That's another characteristic sign of the fifth principal part. For those who have been and are trained through it. And then the only word we have left to account for is dikaiosines, which is genitive, and it's normally taken as modifying fruit. So, afterwards, but later, it gives or pays, sometimes it's translated produces, the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who, through it, are in a having been trained condition. If I could say it as awkwardly as I possibly can. So that's the goal. And you know, as Americans, we're not good at this, right? Because we're not good at enduring difficulty at any sort. But we all can do this in our lives. We look back and we say, oh, maybe that's what God was up to. And it certainly was difficult, but now I can see in my life the ability to endure, the ability to believe. Something in me has been shaped by that very difficult time. And again, all Christians go through this, right? Tom? Sometimes people say that typically the first position in a clause is prominent, and sometimes people suggest as well that the last position is. So maybe that's why it's at the very end. And that is that the peaceful fruit which is righteousness? You know, is that the sense of it? Or is it just righteous, peaceable fruit? Yeah, maybe impossible to be sure. But yeah, that's the only why in the world trail it on at the end like that. So. And then how can the synapses of the brain fire so that you hear this and put it together? It's all them dead Greek people were smart. So, yeah. Will?
So is it a common way to make an adjective and adverb is put it in the accusative?
Neuter, singular, accusative, right.
And here the nouns seem like they're acting as adjectives, so a common way, maybe not a common way, but a way to do that is to put it in the genitive singular.
Yeah, right.
Of joy and of grief. The thing of joy, the thing of grief.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's common.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's a good question, actually. I don't know how common it would be in sort of regular secular Greek that's not influenced by Semitic languages. But I think that and if Jim Veltz were here, he could probably give a good answer to this question. You know, you talk about Semitic influence and Semiticisms. And Dr. Veltz actually has a nice article. I think it was actually printed in the Concordia Theological Quarterly one time about primary and secondary Semitisms. Is that right? You guys are graduate students are nodding? Yeah. This would be a secondary Semitism where you have, again, because Hebrew Is this right, Reed, that Hebrew just has, or Tom, has a lot fewer adjectives? So you have these constructs. Yeah, so you have, you know, mountain of holiness. Yeah, it's holy mountain, right. So I would, if I had to guess, although I wouldn't take it to the bank, the Greek of the New Testament, because the writers presumably are either Jews themselves or influenced by this Old Testament faith, the Septuagint and so forth, will have more of what's, and actually sometimes if you have to, of course, you know you have to have a label for everything, right? And sometimes it's called the Hebraic genitive, right? So, right, which makes us feel better because we have a name for it, right? You guys all know that Dr. Daniel Wallace's grammar has a category called the aporetic genitive, from aporeo, which means I am at a loss. I am confused. So that's what you call it when you don't know what it is. You call it an aporetic genitive, yeah. Now you're not, yeah, Clay, you're not supposed to use that every time now. Yeah, right, yeah, so. Yeah, okay, good. So that brings the paragraph to a close. And now, not too surprisingly, the writer moves to an exhortation. It's a positive exhortation, but an exhortation nonetheless. So we'll get to verse, maybe we'll take 12 and 13 together. Dia, tas para emenas cheras, kai ta paralelimena ganes, ganata, an orthrosata, kai trokeas orthas, poieta tois posen humon, hina me ta cholon ektrape iatheide malon. So he uses kind of physical language here. The verb in the first clause is, of course, an orthosata. I think I mispronounced it. This is from an ortho, which means to straighten up, or in this case, because he's talking about limbs, strengthen. Sometimes it's called translated strengthen. And it's an ortho, so it's just an aorist imperative, active second plural. So strengthen or straighten up, and then you go back to the beginning. Tas keros, of course, is the hands. Now, par emenos is from par I eme, which means to neglect or let fall slack. See, and how did I know that? I looked it up in the dictionary. That's how I knew that. And this is another perfect participle passive, right? So the hands which have been let fall slack, end, or something like that, right? Weak. I think sometimes the translations say weak, which is a little weak, but not too bad. So slackened hands, and now a paraluo, the next one is once again a perfect participle passive. You can see the duplicated stem, paralelumena. It seems to be essentially a synonym for paraemes. Again, means to neglect, to weaken something. And so you have to give just maybe a variation on that translation. And the what? Crippled probably is too strong. But the ganata are the knees, right? So hands and knees. So the image of walking and living the Christian life. So strengthen those things. Strengthen the hands that have fallen weak, and strengthen the knees that have gone slack, right? Because there's work to be done and there's distance to be covered, right? Verse 13, and, now we have another verb. Here's our friend poieo, make. You might be able to guess conceivably what a trachea is if you know treko, which means to run. This is a path, right? Make straight paths, orthos tracheas, tois posen humon, for the feet of you. And, of course, this is third declension. The dictionary form is pous, and then it goes to padus. And the dative plural is posen, which doesn't look all that much like the dictionary form. But this is where we get podiatrist from, which is how I remember it. So make straight paths for your feet in order that... Takalan, kalas means lame. The lame thing might not be turned aside. Ektrepo means to turn away, right? And it doesn't normally mean put out of joint. But in context, that's the way it's translated. So in the sense of turning aside your ankle or turning aside your finger, you know, putting it out of joint. Because the contrast with that, of course, is Iaomai, being healed, right, in the next clause. So make these paths straight for your feet in order that that which is lame might not be turned away. Again, from ektrepo. This, believe it or not, the sixth principal part would be exetrapain. It's strong. There's no theta in the stem. So this would be an aorist subjunctive passive, third singular. Iathe would be from the middle deponent verb iaomai, which means I heal. And in the passive, it has a passive force. But rather, the lame might be healed. Again, aorist subjunctive passive, third singular. And malon is just an adjective that means rather, right? Again, there's a distance to be covered, right? There's stuff to do, so strengthen those hands. I sometimes think of Sunday morning, actually, as the primary time to do this in the sense of, I might have mentioned this before, I wonder if we shouldn't translate Ephesians 4:12, the first prepositional clause, not for the equipping of the saints, but for the restoration of the saints. It's a different verb there. It's katartismos, or a different noun. But as probably most of you have heard, at least in some context, it's not a medical term per se, but it can refer to the resetting of a bone that's been broken. So I wonder if that's not a bad image for what goes on Sunday morning. That is the restoring of the saints. If they've got things that are broken, they need to be healed. Not if, because, you know, weaknesses need to be strengthened. And then also, in a sense, the more positive sense of equipping. Right. I mean, so it's not that the standard translation is, I don't think it's wrong. I just think it's maybe a little too narrow and almost a little too optimistic. I know I tend to come to church fairly beat up by, let's see, either the devil, the world, or my own flesh. Right. So you guys all look pretty good, but it's only Tuesday. So by Sunday, you'll be pretty beat up, too. And if you're feeling beat up now, you can probably talk to any one of us and we'll help you. So, yeah. So, yeah, because Christ is risen, right? Yeah. Okay, anything on 12 and 13? Not too hard grammatically. Good stuff. Okay, verse 14, that goes on for a while, doesn't it? It does, actually, and there's some interesting challenges here. I think we'll take maybe just verse 14 and 15, I suppose. Irene diokete metapanton kai ton hagias man. Get my glasses right here. Hu choris udes apsatai ton kirion. Episkopuntes me tis histeron apates karatas tu theu. Me tis ridza pekrias ano fiuza en ochle kai diotes mianthosen poloi. We have metis pornos e bebelos hos e sao, hus antia broseos mias ap edita ta prata takia heautu. We can maybe get through all of that. It's easy at the beginning. A diokata, from dioko, to run after, chase, in a negative context, persecute, right? Could be an indicative here, taken as an imperative. Pursue. Pursue peace. Pursue with all peace. And also pursue the sanctification, or the holiness. Now, sometimes, as here, you can have the object of the preposition choris can precede it. So here, apart from which. That's the relative pronoun who. And choris takes the genitive. Apart from which, udeis, no one, upsatai, from our friend Harao, will see the Lord. Probably an eschatological reference, as in, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, right? Probably referring to the last day. And now we have a long participle construction. Episkopeo means to look carefully or watch out. And the referent, it's masculine, it's a present participle, active, masculine plural nominative, and the referent is the you implied in the main verb, you pursue. Again, this happens all the time where the referent, a nominative referent, is the unexpressed subject of the main verb. And here that's what's going on. Pursue peace as you watch out. And now we have one, two, three may constructions. And may by itself like this can actually be a negative purpose clause. And we translate it lest in English. You could have hina may, and that would, you know, make it clearer, but this happens with a fair amount of frequency. And it's in the lexicon if you just look up the entry on may. So watching out, lest, from tis hysteron to the comma, there's no verb, right? And so we're just going to supply a form of the linking verb, and it would be in the subjunctive, right? Lest there be someone, or lest someone be. Now, hysteron is a participle from hysterao, right? Lest there be someone lacking from God's grace. And now another construction, lest tis hridza. Now, tis, you might remember, the indefinite pronoun has two terminations. So this form can be either masculine singular nominative or feminine. And hridza, root, is feminine. Lest a certain root pikrias of bitterness. This actually might be another Hebraic genitive, bitter root or something like that. Up shooting or up growing. Heck, I had to look up en akleo. I think it means trouble or cause distress or something like that. I looked it up and I've almost forgotten what it means. Lest a certain root of bitterness, as it shoots up, cause trouble, and deautes, through it many mian thosen, be defiled. Right? And then it goes on actually from there in verse 16. But I have a 12:30 appointment that I need to keep, and so we're going to stop right there. So we'll probably actually clean that up a little bit, verses 15 and 16, which is all, again, depending on that participle, episkopontes, at the beginning. So, all right. Thank you very much. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. I wonder why we don't say Christ is risen, and the response is, and we will rise. I kind of like that one. So. Or as you know, Christ has feet. Christ has feet. He has feet indeed. Right? Because ghosts don't have feet.
Yeah, I think it's like or eat fish.
Yes, exactly. Or have holes that you can stick your hand in.
It's sticky, and that really does.
Yeah, that's a real clincher, that one.
Yeah, the Psalm 148.